Welcome to Revenge of the Triforce, a podcast where three millennial nerds talk about whatever they feel like talking about, but mostly nerd stuff, because that's what they are. And if you are too, you'll love this podcast. And even if you're not a nerd, you'll love it too, because it's funny, so just listen to it. You already started listening to it. Why don't you finish something for once in your life? Sorry, I think that was my inner voice talking to myself. Sorry about that. Without further ado, give it up for your hosts, Jeff, Eric, and Tommy.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. This is Revenge of the Triforce. We have a very exciting episode for you. We do every week. I mean, are they not? Tommy, my friendly, angry gym teacher, they're so exciting.
They're always exciting. And this week, we're extra excited. Konnichiwa, bitches. Yes. What's the topic this week, Eric?
Konnichiwa, it is all things Japan. We want to talk a lot about Japan, the history, where it came from, how it formed, the food, the culture, the songs, the sights.
Yeah, the anime. We got to talk anime. I'm a huge anime fan. I'm probably the biggest anime fan of our Triforce trio here.
Oh, God. I'm going to cut you off right there. This episode's definitely not about that. I'm so excited to not talk about that. But we
that was a joke on Jeff because he's in Japan right
Jeff,
now.
Jeff is still in Japan.
And he probably threw his phone across the room. He loves Japan. He goes there all the time to find himself, and he probably just threw his phone across the room because he thought we were going to talk about Japan without him. So that was a little gag there.
Got him.
I've never been to Japan. I would love to go to Japan.
I always thought it looked awesome and would love to go there and eat the food and drink the beer and see the people. So
the food, yeah.
The food sushi alone. Mm. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. We actually have a special guest in Jeff's place today. We'd like to welcome our very own, and you all know him as the end of our episodes, Mr. Dave Bennett is joining us. Mr. Safety Tips himself. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I've been looking forward to joining you guys all week when you asked me, and then you demanded like 6 weeks in advance for safety tips. I'm like, holy shit, how am I supposed to get that? Yeah, I can barely get one a week.
They are in high demand. We appreciate each and every one of them. I can't wait to hear what today's is going to
be. I got to get you the tips so you don't lose them. So.
Yep, I totally appreciate that.
There you go. You don't want to lose the tip.
Don't lose the tip.
I have to know, and I'm sure the audience is wondering too, first of all, is it okay? Do you still have your? Because you're clearly an expert on genitalia safety. I've never asked you this before. It's all good down there.
Yeah, everything's fine down there.
It's all working.
Right, have you? Okay,
it has to be okay. My brain is going through all these safety things to make sure it's safe. Yeah. So I'm paranoid about it all the time.
Next question: Have you ever had any calls? Next question.
Okay, so
any close call, like, because you're
okay. This is funny because when I did the tool safety tip, and I told Eric about this almost immediately after it happened, I was using my miter saw to cut a piece of PVC plastic.
Oh, I'm wincing already.
And I think there was a hollow spot in the PVC, and it exploded, and these chunks just came out flying. And if I wasn't wearing jeans, like if I normally wear my shorts a lot.
Jorts.
If I was wearing shorts instead of jeans or the denim, those pieces of PVC would have cut right through the nylon or whatever that the gym shorts are made out of.
Just right off.
So, yeah, and that was, what, 3 weeks ago, Eric? That was...
That's a scare. That's a date to write down for sure.
That's a close call.
That's a close call. I mean, you almost got Ken dolled immediately. Yeah, we don't want that.
So is it just jeans? You have to wear jeans. Jeans provide the best protection for your genitals? Athletes wear cups. I know athletes wear cups. Mm-hmm. Do workers like construction engineers, is there any kind of protection going on down there, or are you just count on really tough, strong Levi jeans?
Just tough, strong Levi jeans. Pretty much it. Not sponsored by Levi or anything, right, guys? They're not trying to put that out there.
No, that's just All American popped into my brain.
We save more than just your tools.
Yeah. So obviously you said construction. I've been doing construction for 10 plus years now, probably closer to 15. OSHA certified and all that good stuff. Obviously, everything that all these safety tips are satirical or whatnot, so they're supposed to kind of be a joke, but
they're
a little
fantastic
bit of truth to them. But
so based on real safety, I think.
Well, some, yeah, like ladder safety. I mean, that
sounds feasible. Yeah, ladder safety.
Yeah. Minus the first one, which was, I believe, a Velociraptor.
you never know. You never know.
But yeah, no. I try to ground him in reality, but put a little bit of satire to it and whatnot. But with everything, you got to be safe, and with OSHA requirements and everything, it's usually steel toe boots, 6-inch heel, or not 6-inch heel on it, but a 6 inches up your ankle, and jeans with a minimum of a t-shirt with a 4-inch sleeve on it, with your safety vest and hard hats and everything. So yeah, jeans are part of that for the basic
well,
the safety.
Quick
thing.
Question yeah. though: in the future, do you ever see safety boots with heels? Because I feel like that could be a thing.
My guess, you would probably get to a slip hazard. And being serious, like you're talking
that
about a stiletto
me.
Or something.
But it
yeah,
but it'd be very sexy.
Yes,
it would be very sexy though.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're talking about ass, like right? a, so like, and that makes me think too, like, what about female workers who don't have a penis? Are they just all good? They're,
you know,
they're just
I,
totally
I,
safe. They don't have to worry about anything.
I don't want to speak to that. So we've been trying to get, your guest, I believe from last week, to do a couple
oh,
safety
okay.
minutes for females, because
oh,
I don't want to,
okay.
Smart, I don't want to speak to it personally because I don't have personal experience with that or a
okay.
personal risk to it. So.
Like vagina
very,
safety.
Very
know?
True.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Gave her a couple ideas, but of course those don't work because I'm a guy, so I can't really think of, but even though I try to put my mind in their shoes or whatnot, their
yeah.
stilettos or high heel work boots, and that's very sexist. But
Gucci work boots.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I like that. Hey, gentlemen, I got to pivot really quick because some game just came out a couple days ago. We're from the past talking about the future, but I know at this moment in time, we've already sunken many of hours into a very beloved new game that's coming out. Tommy, on the 12th, what little game did you pre-order?
I have never pre-ordered a game before until this game. I can't remember. That's not something I do. But thankfully, I just had a birthday.
Hey-o.
So couple different people bought me the little Nintendo Switch gift cards, and I went straight and spent all of them on pre-ordering Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes.
First time I've ever done that. I've never pre-ordered a game.
Oh.
I can't remember the last time I bought a game new.
How does it feel, though, to pre-order?
Because
I used to, I'll say years and years ago, when a new game, like maybe a Call of Duty game, or even going way back to like Grand Theft Auto. But like, what did it feel? Is
I
it
will
like,
tell you how
is it
feels.
Hyping it up so
it
much?
It felt frivolous.
Ooh.
It felt frivolous.
Yeah.
I felt like I need to sell my car now
Mr. Moneybags.
And drive a beater. I need to immediately go put some money in my kid's college fund because now I just feel enormous guilt. I just spent $70. And when did games become $70, by the way?
Yeah, that's
not
up.
Even for a thing. I don't
when
even have a physical.
Came out, there was
I can imagine
the,
like, yeah, but those games, you held them in your hands. It was like a treasure. They had some weight to them. This, I pressed a couple buttons on the Switch, and boom, $70 gone. Poof,
yep.
Bye.
See ya.
Like,
that sounds like
insane,
a personal problem because I bought mine from a physical copy from Costco and got a free case for my, or I
Ooh.
Guess it's not really free, but a case for
yeah,
my Switch.
Yeah, I should have gone the Costco route. I should have.
And you got
the
SD
Costco
card
route.
That
Costco.
You could easily
yeah.
mix into your meal and swallow it whole.
No, they
had to
remember,
buy an SD card
a,
just to fit the damn game.
Remember, they got the bitter flavor on the case.
Yeah.
So you don't do that.
Yeah, Dave, I know
Wait,
you're excited.
Do they really?
Do they? I bet you they do.
Have
Let's
you tried to
it.
Eat a card, Dave?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
No,
here.
there's a little warning on it that says the card's bitter. If you look at the little memory card, it says it's bitter.
I've never seen this warning.
I like
I
that.
Think
yeah.
you tried to eat a memory card.
No,
Dave
no,
was trying to give himself some
just
more
chew
memory.
On it a little bit. Just chew on it a little bit. But Dave, you're equally excited. You're a Zelda player.
I am. I remember first playing Link to the Past on Super Nintendo back in the early 90s. I know that's going way back. And then, of course, there was Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask. And then I lose track until the last one that came out. And I'm drawing a blank on the last one.
Middle ground for me was like just him and Smash Bros. Up until, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, but. Exactly. There we go. Breath of the Wild. And this one's a sequel to, or a sequel to Breath of the Wild, right? So it's the first time there's ever been a sequel for a Zelda game.
And, yep.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
I guess Majora's Mask was a sequel to Ocarina of Time, right? So
somehow it's kind of the, you know what? It's literally Mario. Like, let's be honest, right? Like, Bowser is what's his face? Ganon. Yeah. The Zelda Ganon. Is the princess that's Ganondorf. Always. Fuck yeah, Ganondorf is always in trouble. And Link is the hero, which I got to admit. And if anybody else out there says they knew the whole time, you're a fucking liar with a capital F. I always thought his name was Zelda growing up. That's not true. His name is not Zelda. It took me a long time to understand his name was Link. Maybe I didn't read the text or whatever, but I always thought he was Zelda. I thought it was such a cool name. Yeah. He looked so cool. Zelda, Zelda, Zelda. Come to find out, it's the princess. I was blown away.
I mean, I thought that his name was Zelda for about a couple minutes before I turned on the game and started playing. They tell you right in the beginning, his name's Link.
Okay, Nintendo was what? I was seven, Zelda 8 years old. Name. You think I'm reading text and shit? I'm just trying to survive.
That's the beauty of the game story. You got to read.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I did not pay attention. I think it was finally, it was probably
actually,
Smash.
I don't have time for that shit.
It was probably Smash Bros. When I figured it out, because I played, you know, some Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask and all, but like I still never paid attention. So if you're with me, we're going to start an army. Don't worry. There's some people out there that have done that. But speaking of, gentlemen.
There are dozens of us.
There's at least 10. Speaking of, gentlemen, talking a little bit back to the 90s, let's connect it back. I got to shout out one of our very dedicated listeners, Luke Cronin. He sent me a laundry list of like episode topics that I just thought were amazing, him and his brother Dan. And one of those was 90s comedies. I know our listeners, some of our most downloads we've had were going back to the 90s, just living our childhood again over and over. So I wanted to talk just some 90s comedies. I mean, gentlemen, Dave, I'll ask you first, like, what are some of those first 90s movies, comedy movies that come to mind when you think of just the 90s and growing up?
You know, just about anything Eddie Murphy, Dr. Doolittle. I don't know if you classify that as a comedy. I always found it funny. Did the Austin Power movies come out in the 90s, or was that...
I think the first one was late 90s.
Yeah, the first
99.
One.
Yeah, it counts. 99.
I think maybe even this... Wasn't the second one 90s, too?
Probably
Goldmember,
close.
I know, was... Yeah.
The Spy That Shagged Me came out in 1999.
Shit. Long there time ago. Yeah, those movies
are you going to consider the Ninja Turtles comedies, too?
I mean, why not? Why not? The live action?
Yeah, could.
They're good enough. Action comedy. Gosh, I just, you know, I feel like some people just kind of trump the 90s in terms of comedy. But one of my all-time favorites, he goes by a little name called Pauly Shore. I just enjoyed the hell out of his movies, his weasel character, his impressions. I thought they were just so fucking hilarious. And the other one that comes to mind, I know we have plenty and we have a lot to talk about, but him and like Jim Carrey for me were like the sole owners of 90s comedies in terms of like people I'll put in first, second place. I just loved all their movies.
I mean, if you had to pick between Pauly Shore and Jim Carrey, who would you pick? I think I know who you would go with, Eric.
God damn it. That's probably the toughest question anybody's ever asked me in my life. I feel my heart tells me Jim Carrey. I have to cheat on Pauly Shore. Like, I love Pauly Shore movies, but he only had like four of them. Jim Carrey had so many different...
So you're thinking, okay.
The different iconic characters that Jim Carrey had is really what beats Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore only had the weasel. That was it. Jim Carrey had, I mean, all these different characters. Ace Ventura and just...
So you're being objective. You're being objective here.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Don't be using big words.
I thought you were going to say Pauly Shore.
Well, let's pretend I did. What would you say to that?
I would say that sounds like Eric to pick Pauly Shore over one of the greatest actors of our time.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I love you, Pauly Shore. I know you're listening. You're definitely one of the listeners, but I had to go with Jim Carrey for that one.
Oh, for sure.
Tommy, what about you? What are some of your first?
Yeah,
exactly. What are some of your first movies you recall from the comedy sector of the 90s?
I I must have watched The Mask with Jim Carrey like 50 times on VHS. I remember that. I saw it in theaters, and then when that came out, we got the VHS, and I watched the shit out. Every time my cousin came over, which was all the time because she lived down the street, like, let's watch The Mask. Like, every single time, we would just put that thing on repeat. We watched The Mask.
Yeah.
And I knew, like, every line, and it was so funny. And that honestly, I love Jim Carrey. He holds up as an actor. I think he's a great actor. All the characters, like you said, just legendary. But the movie itself doesn't really hold up that much. I watched it again recently, and I was like, this is kind of dumb. Like, it's fun to watch Jim Carrey do his thing, but it's just kind of a dumb movie. It doesn't hold up that well.
I know.
And then they tried making sequels to it, which...
Yeah, they don't always work.
Not a good move there.
I mean, it was an interesting time because, you know, this is, as everybody knows, we've spoken about it before, this is like the internet's just kind of getting started up. Cell phones are just starting to become a thing. And between 1990 and 99, just each year was progressing with different new comedic bits that could be told, because like all this coming of age stuff was happening in terms of like technology and growing up. And like, I feel like the 90s was the best decade for, like I said, like growing, you know, coming of age stories. I feel like there's a lot of teen comedies of like, you know, the geeky kids going to the party and he gets with the hot girl, and like, you know, a lot of the classic movies, like, I mean, Adam Sandler, like, really came in his own with Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and all those movies. We know a name that we're going to go into, I think, a little bit later, but like Chris Farley, I mean, he dominated.
Oh, hell yeah.
SNL movies, like Saturday Night Live, they took a lot of their characters and made them into movies in the 90s. Like, it was just like the decade filled with comedies. I think I'll say this, and this might be controversial, is I feel like there was more and better comedy movies than any other genre in the 90s. Better than action and drama, musicals, the whole fucking lot. I feel like comedy movies were the best and the most fulfilling in the 90s. I don't know how you feel about that.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that's
action
fair.
Movies in the 80s, and then comedy through the 90s, and then what was the 2000s then?
Once you had like the CGI boom, you know, then we started moving into like more science fiction, superheroes. But like the 90s, I feel like, was the last great decade for comedy movies.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to go down this path, but I feel like it was the last decade of like people enjoying comedy movies for what they were and not like getting offended. Like, we never read a newspaper article, what the hell is that, or a brand new Yahoo page like story that said, oh my gosh, there's a group of people upset because, you know, The Wedding Singer talked about whatever, right? Like, just some movie touched on a certain topic.
The reason for that is it was still pre-social media, so I mean,
very true.
There were certainly people offended, I'm sure, but like
they
there were people
no
offended
stage.
About Dumb and Dumber. Like, what? Dumb? How dare they make fun of people who can't speak?
Oh, the blind kid. What the hell?
That was... they stole a parrot from a blind kid. That's a... No, people... I'm sure people were offended, but they had just... There was nothing they could do about it, you know? It was just, you know, tough luck. Nowadays, you can go on social media and write an op-ed for, you know, why exactly... This movie was offensive, you know.
Totally get it. Totally get it.
Social media has been, you know, for all the good that social media has brought, that's one of the kind of more pesky things about it, is that, you know, you have to hear from everybody now.
Yeah, you do.
In the 90s, you didn't. it was just you and the screen.
Yeah, you just...
And maybe Gene Siskel, because you watched Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, and nobody really gave a shit back then. They'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? Okay, cool. Yeah, great. Whatever. Anyways, let's play Pogs. That'd be great. I mean, yeah, there's just so many classics.
Halloween episode.
A lot of Halloween Halloween. I mean, some Halloween, but also Christmas, you know, like Home Alone and all those classic movies from the 90s where they're comedic and just a whole lot of fun. So, I mean, you can't beat the 90s in terms of comedy. I dare you to try. Give us any other decade, any other movie that you think dominates that whole section, and you can't. I'd love to hear it. We'd love to hear from you. I mean, Office Space, that came out in 1999. Like, that's still and will
Mike
always
Judge,
hold up.
Yeah.
Always holds up. Like, that movie just will never get old. People, go watch it right now. But Tommy, I know you had a fun segment you wanted to talk
Dave,
about.
Dave, what was...
Oh, sorry.
I do, but I want to know Dave's favorite 90s comedies.
Yeah.
Like, just in general, throw some out there.
Throw some names, titles.
Oh, I do. I like The Mask, too. I liked the... I hate to keep on going back to Jim Carrey, but I
no, we can do Jim. We can do all Carrey.
Ace Ventura Pet Detectives were, I thought, were hilarious. I think my parents thought they were a little raunchy, so I really wasn't allowed to watch too many of them. But
same, yeah.
You know, even like you're looking at it, it's like, you know how I said like the 80s were the action movies, but you look at like, what was it, Kindergarten Cop? And that wasn't, is that the Adam?
Yeah.
That's the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, yeah. Right?
Yep.
And then the one where he has a twin that's... Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Danny DeVito.
Oh, yeah.
Danny DeVito.
Yeah. Yep. So, Danny DeVito even, twins.
Everybody was getting into the damn comedy shows. I mean, action stars from the 80s were getting into it. And, you know, I'm trying to think of the one that stands out. And I loved Waterboy. Was that a 90s one? I'm pretty sure it was.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Wait, was it?
Yep.
Maybe.
It was 98.
Okay. I remember our buddy Kenny sneaking into that movie, and I was so jealous that he was able to get into the movie in the theaters. But going back to something that you said, Tommy, with the mask, watching it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
What movies are your kids right now just watching over again that you want to bash your head? I can't watch this movie again. Oh, not another Frozen, not another this. I'm sure your parents were thinking the exact same thing in the 90s.
I am really good at steering my kids into movies that I enjoy. So I don't like, I'm pretty manipulative with that. I'll be like they'll throw out a movie that I've seen dozens of times, and I'll be like, how about this? We haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph in a while. Let's throw on Wreck-It Ralph. I love Disney and Pixar movies because they really do a good job of like throwing in some adult like humor and innuendo. Like they're family movies as opposed to just kids movies. So like my kids, they really love the Buzz Lightyear movie that came out a few years back. Watch that one probably, I don't know, 40 times collectively. They love the Wreck-It Ralph movies. They love Moana. And then there's some that they really like that I don't like. They love Frozen and Frozen 2. And I'll be honest, those are like my least favorite. So that's when I kind of go into manipulative mode and I'll be like, we just watched Frozen. How about we watch Wreck-It Ralph 2 or something like that. And then they did go through a brief. So to answer your question, movie that they watched so many times that I couldn't stand was the Paw Patrol movie.
Oh, God.
They came out with a Paw Patrol movie a few years ago, and they put a lot, like, the animation was good. It wasn't like, you know, because the Nickelodeon show is like a little tiny toddler show, but they like upgraded the animation. They tried to give it like a more, you know, Disney-ish, Pixar-ish plot, but they just they fell short. It's not very good. It's just kind of, it's very much like a little kids movie, and they loved it. And they wanted to watch it like every night for a while, and I got really sick of it really fast. It's got a good soundtrack, I'll give it that. It's got some Adam Levine on there. It's good tunes, but yeah, does not hold up. Paw Patrol, not a fan.
Well,
37-year-old man here declaring that I'm not a fan of Paw Patrol.
I mean, Dave, you brought up a really good topic, is that, you know, we've been doing our listeners a disservice, is that, I mean, we were kids in the 90s, right? Like, we weren't just watching the raunchy comedies and this and that. So, like, you know, movies like, you know, name any Disney movie, but like Jungle to Jungle, Little Giants, Sandlot, you know.
Oh, forgot about that one.
Little Giants.
Richie Rich, The Big Green.
Heavyweights.
You know, Heavyweights. Yeah. Like, we grew up on those Blank Check. You know, like, we grew up on all those kids comedy movies, which we thought were so fucking cool. The Three Ninjas. You know, like action comedy.
Oh my God, Three Ninjas.
Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Let's light this bad guy up.
Flubber. I mean, like, Disney.
And either of you name all Three Ninjas. Go. Quick.
Rocky Cold Tum Tum.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
I knew that off the top of my head. I knew off the top of my head. I don't know why. It's buried in some lobe in my brain. Rocky Colt and Tum Tum. And Mr. Miyagi. Wow. Wax on, wax off. For bonus points. Oh my god.
Oh wow.
That was a different franchise.
Was it? Sorry. But he was but he did play Mr. Miyagi, didn't he? Maybe I'm wrong. I forget.
Mr. Miyagi was a different. You're combining universes now. You're
wait,
doing
who
some...
was who was the mentor though?
Who was their grandfather?
Yeah.
It wasn't Mr. Miyagi. That was Karate Kid. That was
sure?
Danny LaRusso.
Oh god.
What was I am a posit. Come on.
Three Ninjas mentor. I don't even know what his name is.
Victor Wong.
Oh, Victor Wong. Oh, okay, yeah. I did not remember that at all. At all. God, the Mighty Ducks.
It was
like...
Mr. Splinter. Oh, oh yeah.
Dude, like, didn't you just want to play like roller hockey after watching the Mighty Ducks? I had no clue. I don't even think I had rollerblades then. But as soon as the Mighty Ducks came out, I'm like, man, I want to do that. And then the second one came out, and I want to do a knuckle puck. Like, fuck yeah. They're good movies. Dunstan Checks In. God, I'm having Good Burger.
Oh, yeah.
Did we? Well, I mean, we can't forget Nickelodeon movies like Good Burger. Like, they would spin off and do
that. Was that the first Nickelodeon movie? Was it Good Burger?
It might have been close. Maybe the first Nick at Night movie, but probably not the first just Nickelodeon movie in general, but probably very close.
We are getting a Good Burger sequel soon, are we not?
Oh, I'm so excited about that. Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah. Okay,
so confirmed. Space confirmed. Jam. Dave is excited. It's a confirmed thing.
Oh, my God.
Space Jam.
Space Jam. It can't be beat. The new one sucks. Nobody watched it. I watched it for 17 minutes.
Hey, did you, Tommy, did you go to Zach's birthday Space Jam? I can't remember if we were hanging out then.
Oh God!
Zach had a Zach.
Our friend Zach had a birthday
had a
party.
Space Jam birthday.
Yeah,
I definitely was not there.
Oh yeah,
when you first asked me that, I was thinking recent. I was like, wait,
yeah, I was
Zach,
like,
a grown man had a Space Jam party.
No. Why not?
I didn't realize you were talking about the original Space Jam.
No, when Space Jam came out with Michael Jordan, we went to the theaters for Zach's whatever birthday. And so that, would
that
like
rings
96.
A bell, maybe.
And you guys stuck nerds in my
yeah, that
freaking
rings a bell.
Ear, and the nerds came out 3 weeks later.
Okay, yeah, for sure, definitely. Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's probably still some nerds in there, by the way. You should get that examined.
Yeah, nerd. That's how it happens.
You got nerd ear.
I remember seeing Ace Ventura when
I loved the movie
for like my 8th birthday. God, I loved it. Sorry, Tommy. You loved?
That's pretty, wow.
It was pretty good.
No, I was just going to say that I love the movie Heavyweights. Because
yes.
I was a chubby child. I was a Dave. You remember? And by today's standards, you know, me in fifth grade, that's when I was like my chubbiest. By today's standards, I don't think I was that chubby. But you know, obviously things have changed. We have a childhood obesity epidemic in this country, folks. But I was a chubby kid. I knew because I was reminded every day by certain classmates, and so I loved the movie Heavyweights. And unrelated to Heavyweights, but my favorite actor as a kid was Chris Farley.
Ooh.
I absolutely adored that man.
Yes.
Everything, his SNL sketches, every movie, Tommy Boy. I mean, hello, my name is Tommy. Like, that was absolutely, and that was like the first celebrity death that really affected me.
Yeah.
You know? First and only, because as a kid, you don't really care about celebrity deaths, I don't think. But I still remember the day my mom came into my room and was like, honey, I need to tell you something. And she was like, Chris Farley died. And I don't know how she explained it to me, because obviously my mom would not have wanted to tell me like, oh yeah, he overdosed on drugs. Like, that was not a thing that you tell kids back then. Even today, I don't know how you would tell a child that.
Right.
So I don't remember what she told me. She probably just told me he had a heart attack or something, which is true. You know, his heart stopped.
Yeah.
But that like really, that sucked as a kid finding that out. And it still sucks. I still miss him. I still think about like what movies he would be in now, because he wouldn't be that old. I don't know. Maybe one of you can do a quick Google, but
yeah, he was.
Right?
Gosh, I think he was born in 64.
He was younger than us when he passed.
So he was 33 when he died.
Right.
So add another 30 years. He'd be 60. 65.
Okay, so he would still be cranking, like he would still be
no,
going.
Almost 70.
You know,
almost 70, but close enough. Yeah, I mean he would.
I mean Tommy Boy was by far my favorite, by far. Loved Beverly Hills Ninja. I don't know. Do you guys have a favorite Farley film?
I do, and it's an underrated gem that not many people have seen, but maybe you guys have. I always do that, and then you guys have done stuff. That's cool. But Almost Heroes is my favorite Chris Farley movie.
Lewis and Clark, yes, that one. Yeah.
Him and Matthew Perry, and he's, you know, just, it's a Lewis and Clark adventure where they're trying to beat them to the Pacific. It's the it's probably the funniest comedy movie I've seen in a long time. It's in my top five of all time, but Almost Heroes, hands down. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Do yourself a favor, but that's my favorite.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I'm just picturing him on that Dave, the leather and coonskin hat and everything right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
that was good.
And then the bird's nest.
I hate to say this, but I didn't see Tommy Boy until I was in my 30s.
Oof.
And that's
okay, as long as you've seen it.
Yeah.
And that sticks out to me as like my favorite like Chris Farley movie. That being said, it's also probably the most recent one I've watched, so that might have something to do with it. But yeah. Beverly Hills White Ninja,
you can't beat Tommy Boy. I mean,
was one of the ones that really stick out. I thought was pretty funny when I was little.
Yeah, Tommy Boy, can't
Beverly
beat
Hills
it.
Ninja,
Black Sheep,
when he visits the Zen Zone, Beverly Hills Ninja. I still think about that.
And he flies back
when they meditate. He visit, the spiritual plane or whatever. Like his brother, who's like his adopted brother, is just like chilling in the Zen zone and floating. And then you see Chris Farley. Oh my God, I hate this. And he's just flailing around, and that's just so good.
And every time he gets, sent I got a back chance to see normal body. Oh my God.
I got a chance to see Kevin Farley. So Chris Farley's, I think it's his younger brother. Yeah, it's definitely his younger brother. So his younger brother, Kevin, does stand-up. And he doesn't tour a whole lot. He's not like a huge star. But he's pretty funny, and he sounds and looks just like Chris. Like almost brought a tear to my eye. I got to see him open for David Spade, the one and only time I've ever been to Las Vegas. We got tickets to see David Spade. And yeah, Kevin Farley opened for him and it was so awesome. It was like magical to see. It was like, oh my God, it's Chris
yeah.
It's Chris up there on stage. Yeah,
and also like he's in a bunch of his,
so highly recommend anyone.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, and you can check him out. He has a Dry Bar special, Kevin Farley. I think it's on YouTube. I think I watched it on YouTube. But Dry Bar is like it's a comedy club in Utah, and it's called Dry Bar because it's literally dry. It's, you know, Utah is like run by Mormons. They don't drink. So it's a whole comedy club where there's no alcohol, no liquor whatsoever. But it's actually a very prestigious club. Like comedians from all over the country will fly in to do specials at Dry Bar because it's clean. It has to be clean, like squeaky clean. And there's a huge market for clean comedy. Like people love to listen to stand-up and not have to worry about hearing curse words or whatever.
Oh,
Kevin Farley has a Dry Bar special, and I think it's available online. Anybody who's a fan of Chris, definitely look up Kevin. He's very funny and sounds a lot like Chris. It'll take you down memory lane. But I wanted to do a fun little activity. Are you guys ready for my Farley activity? All right. So this activity is called Enter the Farley Verse. Okay. So we are. That was the sound effect for Enter the Farley Verse because we don't have any cool like custom sound effect.
Yes.
All right, I'm putting this shit away. No, we are going to transport ourselves to an alternate universe where Chris Farley got some help, okay? Because the guy just needed some help. He got some help. He did not die that night. He got some help. He got better, and he's still alive. And we are going to think about what movies he would have been in recently, since he died recently. So it could be, I think he died in the mid 90s, so it could be late 90s, could be 2000s, could be something that came out last year. It doesn't matter. You're going to improve the film by sticking Chris Farley in there. Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Do you guys want me to go first, or do you guys have one queued up?
I got
a good one. But I don't want to blow it.
I think I got one. So him and Adam Sandler obviously are pretty good buddies, or were. And I feel like the movie where it's like they all, what is the fuck is that movie called? It's like The Reunion. No, but they all get back together again and they go to like
grown-ups.
I feel like he would have been a great person in that movie, especially with like the water park scene and the slides. Like, holy shit, here he comes. I feel like he would have his own family and just would be like him and Melissa McCarthy would be a couple for sure. I feel like they would be the best dynamic duo. The two of them.
Two of them in any movie. I don't care what it's about. I would watch that shit.
So that was the first thing that came to mind. Sign me up.
Dave, how about you?
You know, I hate to do this because I think he's hilarious. But anything Kevin James has been in, you could replace Chris Farley with. Minus Kings of Queens. Kings of Queens was amazing. I could.
Oh my God, I'm is Dave about to steal him. Mine?
I was going to picture Paul Blunt, Mall Cop.
Oh my God! No Farley. Way! You just stole mine.
Was that Paul Blunt?
I'm so happy and so upset at the same time. Oh, Paul Blart, Mall Cop with Jim Carrey.
Did I say Blunt.
Jim Carrey.
You did say Paul Blunt, so you fucked it up. But that was my. Go on. Tell us about this because that was literally mine. I was thinking Paul Blart, Mall Cop with Jim Carrey, Chris Farley instead of Kevin James. How much better? And again, you said it. No offense to Kevin James. Yep. He's funny. King of Queens. We love him. But come on, that movie would have been epic.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. With Farley. Just, I don't know, a bigger guy on the Segway, and assuming he would still be a bigger
picture
guy,
him on the Segway.
I'm just picturing him on the Segway driving around the mall. I'm not picturing a mustache.
Picture him on the Segway with a mustache. But you're not picturing him. I was picturing the mustache.
I can't picture the mustache. No, I can't do it. Is there any facial hair pictures with him at all online?
All book out with Chris Farley. And
that's a good question.
I know
he had sideburns in Almost Heroes. He had the chops.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably some SNL skits where he's got
for sure.
Facial hair.
Yeah, I think I feel like at some point, like just trying to bring it up to let's say 2023, I feel like at some point he would probably have like dropped a ton of weight, which of course is a healthy thing to do. But probably. I feel like he would have pulled a Chum Lee on us from Pawn Stars where he got super skinny. And like that was kind of the funny part about him or so was like, hey, there's a couple of fat guys and they're doing fat guy things. Like, haha, you know, he was always the funny fat guy. And I feel like at some point he would have been the skinny guy. And here's
why I loved him. That's why I related to him.
And here's the thing that I think we were robbed of the most is kind of like Adam Sandler. I think he's a great dramatic actor. I feel like Chris Farley had a side to him that we would have been able to see where it was super dramatic and he just stole the show and wins like a fucking Oscar. Sure. You know, the comedians definitely always end up being like some of the best dramatic actors, and I feel like that would have been
we
a lot
saw
better
it with
than the
Sandler
comedy.
In that one the one movie we saw Uncut. It with Sandler where he played that like Uncut Gems. I think we would have seen it with Farley too. And I also think about all the movies, and I love Adam Sandler, huge Adam Sandler fan. All his 90s stuff, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
But I have to say, think about all the horrible movies that he has cranked out in the last like 10 years and how much better and how much more watchable each of those would have been with a cameo, at least a cameo or maybe even a starring role with Chris Farley. Imagine Hubie Halloween with Chris Farley.
Oh my gosh. And you know what?
I would rewatch it every Halloween.
I feel like, you know, Tommy Boy and Black Sheep. It was kind of a, let's call it a sequel to Tommy Boy was Black Sheep. Just him and David Spade, right? I feel like that train could have kept going and should have kept going. I feel like they probably would have put it on hold until sometime in the 2000s and then followed up with, like, the end of the trilogy to that. Like, they're older guys. They're going back out on the road again to, like, visit their kids at college or some shit. And it's just the hijinks they get into and the stupid-ass shit. Not like Dumb and Dumber, because I feel like that was just the worst fucking movie ever, but it would be a lot better. And I feel like him and David Spade would still do a great job.
A sequel to Tommy Boy where Chris Farley plays, you know, he's the head of the company and his son, Jonah Hill, is like Tommy Jr. Jonah Hill before he lost weight, by the way. This would have happened before he had the Al Roker surgery or whatever the fuck. That we think of the possibilities, and that's just what makes me so sad about Yeah. Oh, you know, he went too soon. God, miss Chris Farley. Yeah,
him and John Candy. I know we didn't really talk John Candy movies, but he dominated the 80s, 90s, too, and he was gone. And it's like, damn, him, Uncle Buck. Like, we could have had, like
another Spaceballs.
Yeah, exactly. Another Spaceballs.
Oh, like, yeah.
The OG cast of SNL, which most of them are still around nowadays, but some of the just main members. And I know John Candy was from Canada, but still, I feel like they would just be pumping out fucking awesome movies nowadays, and it would bring us back to our roots. It'd be so good.
Let's go to a movie
I had read a story.
Will Ferrell was supposed to be in Shrek. Have you guys ever heard his lines being read? So instead of Micah Myers,
he was supposed to be Shrek.
So if you actually go onto YouTube, you can find him doing.
Wait, Chris Farley?
Chris Farley was supposed to be the voice of Shrek. You can find him doing lines.
Wait, you said Will Ferrell.
Did I say Will Ferrell? Chris Farley. I apologize.
Yeah, did you mean Farley?
Whatever. Yeah, Farley. You can find lines on YouTube.
No, I was picturing Will Ferrell reading for Shrek. Chris Farley, I think, makes more sense, though.
Yeah. Sorry. I kind of put those two in the same boat sometimes, though.
Yeah, he do like his normal voice or something? Like he didn't even try to do a Scottish accent?
I think you got it right.
Damn. And I feel like in him and Will Ferrell have been a great combo, because once Chris Farley died, not saying Will Ferrell was not a little bit big before them, but as soon as Chris Farley died, I feel like Will Ferrell took off. Like, I feel like we needed somebody to fill that wackiness, the craziness. Like, this is a guy that's screaming and shouting and doing things, and he's not like some big fat guy. And I feel like that allowed him to springboard. I'm sure he would have been successful either way, but I feel like in my mind, now that I think back on it, Will Ferrell kind of got big because Chris Farley went away. I don't know, in terms of movies and comedy.
Imagine them together. Here's another one for the Farleyverse. Imagine Anchorman with Chris Farley as Champ Kind. Picture him in the cowboy hat. Picture him saying, "Whammy!" like in his Chris Farley voice. Like that. Oh
God, and the amount of just, he would like destroy the sets too. He just throws his body on any desk or through a wall.
He starts doing cartwheels. In the fight scene, he just starts doing cartwheels across the battlefield.
Oh my God. That's so good. Yeah. I read
a story that I wanted to share with you guys.
Yeah.
It sounds too funny to be true, but I Googled it and like multiple outlets reported it. I'm sure this is a story that David Spade probably told on some radio show, and that's how it got. And you guys let me know if you heard the story, but apparently Chris Farley and David Spade got into a fight, like an actual physical fight on the set of Tommy Boy. Have you heard about this?
No, no.
So the reason, I know Dave's already laughing because you're just picturing it, right? But the reason is even like more funny. So apparently Chris Farley wasn't feeling well one day, so he went up to his hotel room and like went to bed. And him and Spade were like inseparable. They were best friends. But because Farley was sick, not feeling well, Spade went out with Rob Lowe and they went out to a bar, like hung out. And the next day, Chris Farley got so jealous when he found out that Spade hung out with Rob Lowe, that he just kept glaring at David Spade like the entire day on set. He would glare at him, and then when Spade looked at him, he would be like, "How's Rob Lowe?" It sounds innocent enough, but I guess he just kept doing this like all day. It got to the point where Spade was like, "Listen, man, you were sick. What was I supposed to do?" David Spade, and this is where it gets just ridiculous, David Spade was eating a tuna sandwich. Farley stomps on his tuna sandwich. David Spade throws his Diet Coke at him. And then Chris Farley pushes him down the stairs.
Oh, my God.
And then they tried. It's like it just gets progressively more ridiculous. And then they tried to like go back to filming, but Spade just couldn't read his lines because he had just gotten shoved by Farley. So Spade goes to his dressing room. They both like go their separate ways. And then to top it off, to like end the story, Chris Farley still had some aggression in him. So he tackled the director's assistant. This guy wasn't even part of the fight. Just standing there. I'm just picturing Chris Farley.
Oh my God.
tackles him for no reason.
Just destroying some 180-pound guy or even 160, just flattening him.
Right. Oh my God. Like, this is something that actually happened between two grown men on one of the greatest comedy films of the 90s.
I gotta find all time, it. Really. I'm not going to even try to paraphrase it, but there's another good story. We'll post it on social media where David Spade was on a podcast lately, and he talked about how they were trying to do SNL and Tommy Boy at the same time. So they had to fly back and forth from set almost daily. But it was a mixture of, like, we would go to the bar after shooting, we'd get drunk, and then realize we got a 2 a.m. flight. We would somehow make it to the flight, get back to New York, you know, do rehearsal, film that episode, then fly back. And most of the time, we were just making the scenes up as we go. The director kind of knew the place, the location, but we would just kind of make up our lines. Like, there wasn't even really a script. we'll have to post it somewhere. But it's just, I feel like, I hope somewhere there's like a whole archive of that footage of just like the making of Chris Farley movies, because I feel like those would be fucking hilarious. I can't imagine they would not be. Just give us all the behind the scenes juicy stuff.
A Netflix special, Movies That Made Us, Chris Farley edition.
Yes, I'd take it. 90s comedy.
That sounds like that should already be a thing. Is that not a thing? That should be a thing already.
That should be a thing. Dave, sign us up.
What the hell, Netflix?
Sign us up, Dave. Well, Dave, we want to give a personal thank you to you, not only for you being here today, but also for your endless laughter and safety tips that our audiences love. We appreciate them. We know you're going to keep them coming, and everybody protect yourselves. But Dave, why don't you do us the honors this week and, you know, introduce your safety tips?
Okay. How do you guys introduce these? I've actually not gotten I can't listen to myself, so I turn your episodes off when you're about to introduce me.
Well, something along the lines of, you know, hey, here's Dave Bennett.
Nice this there, week's Dave. Dave was about to say that he doesn't listen to the podcast.
All right, you're on stage, Dave. No pressure.
I'm on stage. Well, obviously, we always want you guys to be safe. So we always encourage you to use your keep safety in mind when doing whatever dangerous stuff you might do. And please enjoy this week's safety second. When using a pedestal fan, make sure you always have the protective cage fully installed. For if you leave that front cover off, you may find yourself one day cooling off and that attractive weather person comes on the air and snip, 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 your penis is gone.